While you're standing, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, if you have your Bibles, Proverbs 20 and verse 7, and Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 7, Lamentations right after Jeremiah. Proverbs chapter 20. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Did you get those two passages? Let's read that again. Proverbs 27. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Lamentations 5 and 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Father, we're glad this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thankful for these fathers that are here. Thankful for our families, for your mercy and grace to us. I pray this morning that you would help us to be better fathers. I pray that you would instill in our hearts a deep reverence for God, a deep sense of responsibility to future generations. I pray this morning, Lord, that you do a work in some heart, lasting for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach to you this morning for just a few minutes on the blessing of a godly father. And my scripture makes clear to us this morning that fathers hold great potential in their families to either bless them or to curse them. And we see in Proverbs that the godly father blesses his children after him. And that in the book of Lamentations, when Jerusalem is burnt to the ground, the judgments of God are upon the land, that Jeremiah laments and says, our fathers sinned, and now we are bearing their iniquities. So there's powerful potential in being a father. I know that probably no one realizes that awesome potential when they first become a father. I know. I mean, I realize the seriousness of it to some extent, but nothing like it really is. When a man becomes a father, boy, there's great potential there to either bless or curse future generations. And the Bible says that a good man leaveth an heritage to his children's children. So it doesn't say that a rich man leaves an heritage to his children's children. Sometimes that don't happen. But a good man leaves an heritage to his children's children. Hallelujah. And I want to talk to you about the blessings of a godly father. First of all, the blessing of a godly father is in the fact that he loves God. This is one way that he blesses his family, when he loves God, when he keeps the greatest of the commandments. Brother Mike taught us about that this morning, that the greatest of the commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when a man loves God, he blesses his family after him. In the Ten Commandments, the second commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. You understand from this passage of scripture how God tends toward mercy. He visits the iniquities of the fathers upon the third and fourth generation, but shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments.
So you understand how you bless your families when you love God and keep His commandments. He shows mercy unto thousands of them that love Him and keep His commandments. So we bless our families when we love God and we serve Him. And loving God is not just lip service. But the Bible tells us this is the love of God, that you keep His commandments and His commandments are not grievous. You can understand when a man loves God, when he takes delight in doing the will of God. You can tell when he loves God, when he keeps His commandments and does not count those commandments to be grievous. And so this is the way that we bless our families after us, is that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Secondly, we bless our families when we love our wives. And you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that we are to love our wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And one way that we bless our children is when they see that we love their mama. Brother, I'm telling you, that has an effect on your children when you love their mama. It is one of the most distressing things to a child when a home is full of strife, when there's fussing and fighting between the husband and the wife. It puts such tremendous psychological pressure on that child, and it affects that child for the rest of his life. When in the home there's nothing but grief, strife, heartache, and sorrow. So we bless our children when we love our wives, when we treat them with respect, when we hold them up in honor, and when our home is a home of peace, we bless our children. And we bless our children not only because we love God and we love our wives and there's harmony and peace in the home, but we also bless our children after us. Godly fathers bless their children after them when they pray for their children. There is power in the prayer of a father. In the Bible, we read about two fathers in the time of Jesus who came to Jesus on behalf of their children. One of them was a man who had a daughter who was sick and dying. She was 12 years old. And this man heard about Jesus, and he came to Jesus, beseeching Jesus to come and touch his daughter, for his daughter was sick and dying. And so Jesus started toward Jairus' house to answer the prayer of that father who came to him because his daughter was sick and dying. And Jesus immediately started toward Jairus' house. You know how he was interrupted in his journey? By this woman who had been sick for 12 years. And healed that woman. And in the meantime, somebody came and brought word to Jairus and said, "Why bother the master any longer? Thy daughter is dead." But Jesus looked at Jairus and said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And one reason that Jesus took time to heal that little woman was to give Jairus the faith to believe that even though he received bad news, that bad news was not the end of the story. Jesus was still on the way. And brother, I'm telling you that God hears the prayers of godly fathers who call on God in behalf of their children. God heard and answered this prayer. Went to that Jairus' home and walked in the room and raised that child back to life. Then we read about later on, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's transfigured before his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And Peter wants to build three tabernacles up there. He'd like to stay on that mountain. But Jesus can't stay on that mountain, because down in the valley, in the multitude of people down there, there is a man who has brought his son to Jesus. When Jesus was not there, he asked his disciples to pray for his son. The devil tormented him. The devil threw him into the fire. The devil tried to drown him. He was possessed with the devil. The disciples of Jesus couldn't help him. But Jesus knew that man was down there. And he knew that that man had brought his son for help. Jesus said, we must go down to the valley. So they went down into the valley. They got there and this man brought his son to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, your disciples couldn't help me. If you can do anything, help me. And Jesus said, no, it's not whether or not I can. It's whether or not you can believe. For all things are possible to him that believes. I'm telling you, it's not a question of the authority and power of Jesus. It's a question of whether or not we believe in the Son of God. And so this man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And the Bible says that Jesus rebuked that spirit and told it to come out of that little boy. And Jesus delivered that little boy. This man's prayers got deliverance for his son. Jairus' prayers raised his daughter from the dead. And this man's prayers got deliverance for his son. God was moved by the prayers of these fathers. I'm telling you now, brothers, we have a tremendous influence with God when we bear upon our heart the souls of our children. God hears and answers the prayers of godly burdened fathers for their children. And there are fathers in this place this morning that you've got lost children. You've got children that are in need of help from God. And I'm telling you this morning, I want to encourage you this morning to pray because your prayers have an effect with God. Somebody else praying can also touch God, but I'm telling you it is special when upon the heart of a father, that's a burden for the soul of their own children. It means something to God when a father comes for his own family. The Bible says in the last days, God will send Elijah before the coming of that great and dreadful day. He will turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children. Because so often the hearts of the fathers are not toward their children. But this is what God would do. God would turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children. And cause the fathers to be concerned about their children. I say if God would help us in this church, that every father had the burden of his children upon his heart, and he realized the powerful potential of his influence upon those children, we'd have a revival around here. I said we'd have a revival around here. Because when every father recognizes the responsibility upon him and understands the powerful potential of his influence upon his family and succeeding generations, it'll wake up something in us, brother, and cause us to get down to business with God when we realize how important our influence is on future generations. Brother, I stood by the bedside of Willie Ray when he was dying. And Willie had just gotten saved on his deathbed. He came to church here for years. Prayed when he first started coming to church here. Some of y'all know how Willie got started coming. I went to his home just knocking on doors in this area. Didn't know him, just knocking on doors. And Willie came to the door, and I told him who I was, and I was visiting, and I'd like to come in and talk with him. And Willie, he didn't know what to do with me. He said, hollered back in there to Catherine and said, Catherine, told who he's here, this fellow's here, he wants to come in. Catherine said, let him in. So I went in. And I'm just a bashful, backward fellow, always have been. I was just trying to work for Jesus and didn't know how to do it and didn't know what to say and sit down in his living room. I've got in now. I'm sitting in the living room, but I don't know what to do next. So all I know to do is just start talking about Jesus. And so I start talking about Jesus. And I start giving my testimony of how good God's been to me. Brother Willie just started weeping and crying while I sat there and talked to him about how good Jesus had been to me. That's all I knew to say. And I asked him, could I pray? And I prayed with him. You know, it wasn't but a few days. Catherine called the house one Sunday morning and said, what time do y'all start church? And she came to church. He didn't come. And I never saw her that day. But she must have been listening in the next room. And so they came to church. And Willie and Catherine both prayed early on. And Willie made a profession. But time went on that didn't seem to prove out in his life. And now he's dying. And I talked to him about the Lord. And I want to make sure he's ready to meet God. And as I deal with him in his last days, God is working in his heart. Hallelujah. And he talks to God and prays to God and has a testimony for Jesus. And as he's dying, is all of his children around him. And he sits up in the bed. Brother, I don't know how to describe this. If you've never seen it, you just have to see it to believe it. But I saw him when there came, he's just near death, but I saw him when there came a brightness in his eyes. When he looked beyond the walls of that hospital. When you could see that he was seeing something we were not seeing. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody like that. It's hard to describe. But you could tell he was gazing somewhere that we could not see. And those children around his bedside were hanging on every word he said. And I saw the power in that man's words in his dying hours, how powerful what he said was. I went and told my daddy. I said, Daddy, I just observed something. And I want to tell you. I said, in this man's dying hours, I saw how powerful the words of a dying father were. And I want you to keep that in mind. Well, y'all all know my dad passed away back in February. My dad and mom in a car accident. And I didn't get to be there. Mike, my brother, we didn't get to be there by his side. But my sister was there and her husband was there. And my dad was a dying, unafraid, praising God in his dying hour. Thanking God, blessing God in his dying hour. And I don't know whether I called or whether they called. But my dad wanted to talk to me. And they put the phone down to him. And he tried to talk to me and I couldn't hear him. And so he handed the phone to my brother-in-law. And he said to my brother-in-law, you tell him, I'm about to cross over. I want him to be a good soldier. Praise God. That was the last words my dad said to me. I'm about to cross over. And I want you to be a good soldier. Brother, those words ring over and over in my ears. And I think about them constantly. God said through my daddy, I want you to be a good soldier. And I intend by the grace of God to be a good soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to say to every father here, you have a powerful influence on your family. You're going to have a powerful influence if you don't serve God. You're going to turn those children's feet in a path that they'll long live to regret. All you got to do is read Romans chapter 1 and you'll see how the fathers influence future generations and for generations to come, plunge them into the darkness. But if you'll live for God and you'll pray and seek God and you'll live a holy life, you can turn your children's steps in the path of heaven. Hallelujah. And you can take future generations to heaven with you. Praise God. Brother, you talk about rejoicing my heart. When we got news Sunday night that Kara and Lori had received the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And you talk about rejoicing my heart, brother. We had a time of rejoicing out there in Oklahoma when we heard about that. Because this is what's dear to my heart. To see my children serve God and live for God and enjoy the blessings of God and go to heaven and take my grandchildren to heaven. Hallelujah. This is what really matters to me. Fathers, you are having an influence. All of you are having an influence on future generations. We're going to bless them if we love God. We're going to bless them if we love their mother. We're going to bless them if we pray for them. Your prayers. You might say, well, I don't know that I can do much praying. I don't know if my prayers will do much good. I'll tell you what. If you love God and you're keeping His commandments because you love Him, your prayers. Say, I'm going to let somebody else do the praying for them. No. We're not counting on somebody else doing the praying for them. We're going to do the praying for them. I mean, we hope somebody else is going to help us, but we're going to do the praying for them because we know as fathers, God is listening to our prayers and paying particular attention to the prayers of fathers who love their children. Brother Dewey, I praise God that God saved your soul. Yes. And I know you're praying. Yes. And you got a daughter that needs the Lord and grandchildren and you. Your prayers, hallelujah. Oh my, how powerful your prayers are. Thank God. And I want to encourage all of you fathers. Boy, you talk about making a difference. You can make a difference in this world by your influence upon your children. And you can turn the feet of those children in the paths of righteousness. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano this morning. I'm going to give an altar call here. There may be somebody in this building this morning that you're lost without God. You know, if there's a father in this place, a father that doesn't know Jesus, a father that's left Jesus out of his life, we're going to give you a chance to put Jesus in your life because Jesus loves you. He knows what a powerful influence you've got. He wants to save you. And not just fathers, but anybody in this place that's without Christ. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to make you a blessing. God will bless you so that you can bless others. And so, while we stand together and Sister Judy sings, we're going to give the altar call. If there's anybody here that you'd like to come and give your heart to Jesus, we're going to give you a chance to do that. These altars are open. Jesus is calling. And if there's a soul here that you hear the voice of Jesus, is there one here this morning? You'd heed the call of Jesus. Come to this altar. Bow in this altar and meet Jesus for yourself. Experience that transforming power, the blood of Christ. Let Jesus do a work in your heart this morning. Is there anyone here? While we wait just a moment. Are you listening to that voice? Voice of the Savior. He's calling. He's pleading. While we wait just a moment here, is Jesus speaking to your heart? Is there anybody here? Jesus is speaking to your heart. You feel that deep need in your life, an emptiness, a void, a need deep in your soul. Angels are waiting to take the news to heaven that somebody has come home to Jesus. Heaven's waiting to rejoice. Is there anybody? You'll come. Give Jesus your heart.